In the name of God, Abba, Ima, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be poetry." And we came to life. You are the poems, have you forgotten? And God saw that it was tov, that it was really good, and that the poetry is life-generating. That's what tov really means in Hebrew. God saw all that is, and it is life-generating. Poem into the wild unknown by Forrest Fine. It is so easy to get lost in this world with all of its distractions, false promises, and shiny toys. Forgive yourself for getting lost, for not knowing where you are or who you are, for having no clue what you truly want or the direction you are going. The world we have created is designed to make you forget. It's designed to make you lose your way, confuse you, disconnect you from yourself and what is truly nourishing for you. Forgive yourself for being lost. Forgive others for being lost. To find yourself, find others who inspire you, who encourage you to discover and live a life that is true for you. Exchange words and rationality for images and allow your imagination to run wild. Remember, the rational mind will not get you where you want. Reclaim your soul. Reclaim your heart and your body as a sacred expression of the indestructible mystery from which we all came, which sustains us, and to which we inevitably return. You are not separate from life. I repeat, you are not separate from life. This is the great confusion. Reclaim your seat at the table. Reclaim your seat at the feast. What you accept as life is but a fragment, friends, a sliver of what this vast universe has to offer. Don't shortchange yourself. Go on the grand adventure. Take leave of all the old habits and step into the wild unknown. I will meet you there. The beginning of happiness is understanding that a life without wonder isn't worth living. That's Psalm 19, the original Hebrew. Did you get that? The beginning of happiness. The beginning of wisdom is understanding that a life without wonder and amazement isn't worth living. You may have all your ducks in a row. Congratulations. Not worth living. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Yes, we had a tremendous Thanksgiving celebration last Sunday out on the Labyrinth. It was amazing. We kept saying to each other, it's like everybody in the world is here, 150, 200 people. Muslim young men chanting ancient Islamic chants, haunting. Baha'i children drumming, moving the hearts and souls. Chinese choirs of children. St. Joan of Arc band playing. And Drew and Daniel topping it off, playing Stevie Wonder. It's magic! Don't you get it? It's magic! It's magic! Of course, there were some Lutheran wannabes. Mary and Philippa got rid of them. You don't qualify, but yeah. So how come life has become so harsh? Why are so many mean things going on in the airports and school board meetings and shopping malls? What's happening to us? It's a new year. Are you ready for a new beginning? Please? Jewish theologian, mystic, profound thinker Martin Buber said at the beginning of the previous century that the modern world has become a place of commotion. It's just all discombobulated, disordered, incoherent. It's like watching the evening news. You know, they sit next to each other, scroll, image, scroll, breaking news, there is no breaking news, breaking news. Oh, just another ordinary day. What happened in the news? Nothing. Commotion. Surrounding us, enveloping us, discouraging us, right? Why should we bother? What's the point? It's overwhelming. Just overwhelming. So, three comments, insights about this commotion that Buber describes. The first is rationality will not fix it. In fact, Buber says rationality is the daughter of commotion. We were so close to getting it all put together again, weren't we? If our computers would only go faster, faster, they'll solve it for us. Wrong. So I'm inviting you this Advent to take your expectation level out of somebody out there is going to fix it. We don't have solutions sitting on the shelf out there. It helps with strategies, but not solving what's going on. Second comment. We hear in the Genesis story of this sublime harmony and unity in which the Creator is living with the wholeness of creation. It's so good. It's life-generating. It is such a blessing. But the message most of us have gotten, and unfortunately, usually from religion, is that we are separate from God. If you measure up, you might stand a chance. It's like crawling out of the Grand Canyon on your knees. Be humble, Arlene, at least for once. Crawl up on your knees, and maybe God will let you in. And even if we don't like that version, we're still not sure that we're ready to meet God, are we? Right? That is so discouraging. And that separation from God, that feeling that we have, is a lie. Now, I acknowledge we feel it. We feel it. But it's a lie. And Jesus gave himself and all of the teachings and his life itself to try and break through to us about the intimacy of God in which we are living, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the one in whom we are breathing, that this reign of God, you see, it's not out there somewhere else. Jesus keeps saying, where is it? It's here in your heart. It's on your lips. It's in your hands. It's right here. Will you join me? Will you join me in loving all that is? Just love it, every leaf and piece of sand. Love the sinners. Love the wicked. Love the beautiful. Will you just open that generous heart in which you've been created, my dear poems? And love. Love what you can. Love as best you can. Love if you're a failure at loving. Just love. I don't know if this analogy makes sense, but I'm going to try it anyway. In Tai Chi, I learned this from my Sifu, there are three key elements. One is exercise. The second is martial arts. And the third is meditation in movement. And these three elements must be moving and living in a harmony if you're really going to learn Tai Chi. But what most of us do is we choose one of the three. And the most popular, of course, is the martial arts component. Now, here's what begins to happen. Now, if I'm going to get good at this, right, I'm walking on the street and I start going to my mind, what if somebody came over my left shoulder. Ha! See? Wait! And I'm always imagining, and guess what begins to happen? I'm putting out energy. You want to fight? And guess what? You end up in more fights. It's all backwards, you see? So if you're walking around thinking, I wonder if God is out to get me, look out! Look out! That's what you'll be discovering. Instead of, here is the intimate partner who wants to love me into fullness and joy and ease and connection. So, I've decided to assign you an ancient Advent spiritual discipline, which I've learned from nuns and monks over the years. For the month of December, I want you to sunbathe. It's your assignment to bear. We're all going to report on Christmas Day how it goes. And you know why this works, and I'm serious. When I invite people to, let's meditate and sit there in stillness and smile and just be present, people say, I can't do that. I got too much going on in my head. This is too much for me. But when I invite people to sunbathe, oh, they get it instantly. I just want to sit there and be still and soak it in, right? And bask in the gloriousness of life which has come to me through the sun warming every ounce of my being. I don't have to do anything. I just know that I'm loved. Can you savor that for a month? Would you try that? Just, that's the goodness of God. Do you know that? And if one little drop of sweat begins to run down the cheek, what's our response? We go, ooh, that's nice. That's me. Is that too much to ask? The third comment is that in Advent we anticipate the birth of the Christ, but in three ways. One is the child at Bethlehem, a wonderful, wonderful celebration. The second is it's the birth, friends, of the universe and eternity expanding, for now it has been permeated with infinite compassion. And the third birth of Christ is in us. I think that's Jesus' favorite place, to be birthed here within us again, to renew us in the joy and the vision of the whole creation, stirring in us that soulfulness we need for these times, the beginning of wisdom and happiness is resting and relaxing in the one whose love knows no end. That soulfulness, that's where the healing is coming from. That's where the hope is coming from. We need to practice it and enjoy it and live it. Did you hear Paul in that Thessalonians passage? Oh, my friends, I can't thank God enough for you. You inspire me. You give me courage. You give me hope. We can go on. Here is the love. And we are surrounded. It may come in children, the leaves falling, or who knows, the light reflected on water. And we instantly feel it, don't we? We usually are saying, it's not enough. It's everything. I'm alive. Commotion kills. There's no hope. It's all panic. Soulfulness. Invites us to enter that communion with all life for which we were made. And we know it down deep, don't we? Reclaim your soul, your heart, your body. Reclaim where we came from and where we're going. You are not separate from life. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't pay attention to the commotion and the confusion. Enter the great adventure. I will meet you there. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.